And we're back on the hunt with Supernatural Season 7, Episode 11, Adventures in Babysitting. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If not, welcome back. Chris, we had quite a doozy last week. We lost one of our favorite characters in the whole series, right? Bobby, we asked the question, will Bobby be in every season moving forward? We still don't have that answer. If you have that answer, you can message us on Twitter, we're on Threads, we're on Reddit. Let us know if you know that answer. But still, the answer to the question last week, how does Bobby's death impact the show and us personally, Chris? I think we're going to get those answers in this episode. Not only are Sam and Dean dealing with the fact that their adopted dad is dead, but they're also going to go on two separate missions in this episode, Chris. And I got to tell you, I love this episode. It's so good. It's only an 8.0 on IMDb somehow. I don't know how that's possible, Chris, but I did have one other interesting detail I wanted to float out here. The director, how do I pronounce this, Chris? Jeanette Swark, their previous directorial for Supernatural. Do you want to take a guess?
I don't know.
Mannequin 3, The Reckoning.
Oh, boy.
From season 6, our favorite episode.
This is so much better than that. Not that that's a leap by any means, but again, it's great. Again, this is why you don't judge a director or an actor by one movie, right? You look at the greater picture, right?
Yes. And here we are. Right. Yeah, so I'm very happy for Gene. I just wanted to float that out because I think you and I were rightly so very critical of that episode, Chris. But this one, I think actually on the other hand, this one is rated lower than it should be. This for me is like a 9. I really love this episode, and we're going to get into why. But I know you're excited about the monster in this one, Chris. So I want to make sure we touch on that as much as possible because we have a Vitala, which is something from Hindu mythology. Can you recall any other monsters from Hindu mythology except for maybe a demigod or two from
generally 4? The demigods that we've dealt with? I think that's about it. And these are interesting because there's quite a bit to these. They're definitely a mythical creature in Hindu mythology. Mm-hmm. It's a vampiric type being. There's a few different origins in cultures for this. So it's a vampiric being that haunts cemeteries and takes demonic possession of corpses. In other cultures, similar entities exist with this. For instance, in Slavic, vampires are known as upir or vampir. They're undead beings that feed on life essence of living creatures. In Chinese mythology, it's and apologize pronunciations here, jiangxi, which is a type of undead creature that hops around and feeds on the life essence of living creatures. But here's the thing. In Hindu mythology, when these creatures, the Vitala, are overtaken, they actually become incredibly loyal to that master, that person who took over, the person who essentially has controlled them. And the thing that really got me about this monster is it's the inspiration for Dracula, really. Mm. This is the type of monster that inspired Dracula. And if anyone plays video games, this inspired the vampire lord character in the game Skyrim, which is and Dan, I don't know if you played Skyrim, but Skyrim is a game that on the Xbox and other systems has been remastered like 2 times over. It's more than a decade old, and it gets remastered constantly for the new systems because it's that good. I have every remastering of this game. It's an incredibly cool game. And there is a character called the Vampire Lord, and it's definitely got some of these quirks, right? And I never knew this, so this was a cool connection. The great thing about this is I looked on this online, and the most popular ancient text that mentions this type of monster is the Vitala Panchavimshati, which is a collection of stories that children in India still read today, and it dates back to the 11th century. Wow. So it's a very popular myth in India. Now, look, let's talk about it in Supernatural world. They appear human. They look human. They're very snake-like, and they hunt in pairs. And I like this because we talked about in the season of monsters, or what I think should have been the season of monsters, and kind of didn't do it to the level that I liked. That was groups, right? We had like large swarfs of monsters very often. Pairs. And I like pairs because there's a lot you can do with that story, but it still seems beatable. Like I can beat, maybe fight off two monsters. A pack of vampires? Okay. That's a little much for me to believe because vampires are super strong.
Right.
They're loyal and protective. So they kept this loyal and protective part. Now, again, that might be inspired by the loyal to the master part that I mentioned, but the loyalty to each other. Abilities is always fun. Dan, can you guess what the most common traits are? Because yeah, super strength is back. Super speed is back. Super senses. But this is what's really neat. They have a paralyzing venom. There's that snake-like factor, right? Mm. That knocks the people out. And then they're able to tie them up and do whatever. They are cool, though, because to kill them, you need to stab them with a silver knife and twist once. So it's a very specific way to kill them. Yeah. Doable. But if you don't know how to do that, as is evident in this story, you are kind of screwed, right? And most people would think, oh, this is a vampire or something along those lines because it is so similar. So I love that they play off this. This is the type of monster that I wish showed up more often because it's unique. It's a unique twist on when in reality, it very much inspires the very thing that is a vampire. So that is the Vitala, again, pretty neat monster. And that's what we're dealing with in this episode. Because honestly, Dan, the plot in this one is pretty straightforward.
It is, yeah. Sam and Dean are down on their luck, right? They are grieving for quite a few weeks, I believe it is. I think it's like a good 3 weeks. They're just kind of sitting around the motel. Dean's drinking, of course. He's not good at grief. He's processing. And Sam picks up Bobby's cell phone, and on the other end is a younger voice. And Sam, for whatever reason, feels inclined to help this person. Dean, not so much. Dean doesn't really care to help out what we assume is another hunter, right? We know that from Bobby, Weekend at Bobby's, excuse me. We know from that episode, thank God that episode exists, that Bobby was sort of the epicenter, right? He was a call collector. He was I don't want to say global resource, Chris, but who knows? He could have been. He was a massive resource for other hunters. I think Sam acknowledged that, and Sam really felt like he had to help whoever was on the other line. Dean, however, wants to check in on Frank because Frank has been working on the numbers that Bobby gave them. Dean doesn't know that there's a number missing. Frank didn't know there was a number missing until later on in his research. And we're going to learn that through Dean's adventure in finding Frank. We have to bring up Chrissy in this episode, Chris, because I think she's the reason I like this episode so much. This character for me is the perfect answer to Dean. Chrissy is a tragic character, Chris. Within this episode, she mentions that she saw her mom get ripped to shreds, right? She has been through what most hunters have to go through in order to become a hunter, similar to Dean, right? Dean, even though he was just a kid, he watched his mom burn at the top of the ceiling on his house. He also had to take care of himself. Chrissy doesn't have a sibling, but you can tell she's stuck in her apartment by herself for quite a while. She is very crafty. She always has tools on her. She's very funny in a dark humor kind of a sense, Chris. She's got a lot of quips, right? Like she just reminded me of Dean, and I thought it was the best possible moment for a character like this because Sam and Dean they're dealing with loss. They're dealing with the fact that this person who has been in their life apparently for a longer time than we were led on to believe, Chris, is now gone. And I think for Sam likes helping people more than Dean at this point. So I think that's Sam's motivation. He wants to take his mind off it, but also he just loves helping people, especially younger people. Dean, I think, connects with Chrissy, though. I think Dean connects with children much easier than maybe Sam does. Sam didn't really have a normal childhood, right? Dean, however, sees himself in Chrissy. And so I really loved that dynamic in this episode. Chrissy, though, I just want to point out, Chris, we're only going to see her one more time, which is in season 8, which is really unfortunate because I thought her character was really strong and really funny.
You know, the one thing I always think about, very often think about the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, and it's not a spoiler, if you haven't seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer at this point, sorry, it's been a few decades. But in the end, they bring together all these people who are potential slayers to save the day at the end in the final episode. All the potential people who could have been slayers come back. I mean, Buffy's the slayer. She's the one, the chosen one, right? But I wish they could have brought back hunters for like these final battles or like some grandiose thing. They kind of do at times, but like having her turn out to be a hunter or these other hunters return, to me, there could have been that one moment where it's like where they need everybody, right? Before the final episode that, mind you, COVID hit. So some of this stuff, not possible. I'm just saying. But I really am with you. Chrissy, Frank, you have two really enjoyable characters in this episode who, well, progressing the main plot of the story without seeing a Leviathan. And I'm going to stress this. I don't hate the Leviathan plotline. I think I just hate the Leviathans.
Yeah.
Because you don't see Leviathan, and this story was good. Hey, they're doing something. They're up to this. Frank, I don't know. And then there's a whole scene with Frank and Dean dumping the stuff on them, cutting themselves. Like, I don't bleed black goo. See? Okay, cool. Do you? I ain't cutting myself. Like, these moments are great.
Yeah.
And Chrissy and Frank, both fantastic kind of companion partners in this, right? And it works so well. Chrissy in particular, I love. Her dad is a hunter. She's tough. She's not stupid. Sam having to kind of work with her is just like working with Dean in the same sense. And then you got essentially two Deans working together because Chrissy is very much like Dean. And in an interesting way. You know, I'm not bored by Chrissy's presence on screen. She's interesting. Even the fact that she breaks out of these locks, like she gets handcuffed in the car. Cause dude, like, yeah, there's no way I'm taking you in here to save your dad. You stay here in the car. I will always argue. I never understood the whole locking someone in the car. Cause God forbid, what if someone came to the car? What is that person going to do? I always disagree with that. And they've done this multiple times. And I like, okay, you can't get them to go. What are you going to just don't take them? Fight more on that department. But I loved this. And I will say, I like Sam coming in, but you're right. Sam's kind of awkward. Like when Sam initially enters that apartment, he's awkward. He is not good with kids.
No.
I don't think he's got the social skills because he didn't really even look at how awkward he was in the episode with Amy. You know, back earlier this season. He was not that kid, right? And maybe it's because he felt like he was a freak, whatever, but he just wasn't. Dean has a little bit more in the social skills department.
Totally. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you this. Do you think Sam cares more about helping everyone because he went through the soulless Sam stage? Does that impact him? Does he care more because he didn't give a crap for a year plus and he wants to make up for it and he knows what he did?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Sam's primary driver at this point, Chris, is redemption. And by that, I mean personal redemption. I think Sam knows that he made some really bad choices from all the way back to, you know, the whole demon blood thing, right? Season 3, season 4, even into season 5. That is my feeling at the moment. I do think we see Sam grow into a leader way later on in the series, Chris. Dean, though, just has something in him. He's a people person, right? It's sad to say, Chris, Sam didn't have a lot of friends growing up. He moved around a lot. Sam's very smart. Some of the smartest people in the world aren't that social. You know, it's just it's a left brain, right brain thing. I'm not saying that Sam doesn't know how to love or have friends. He certainly does. He absolutely does within the show. For whatever reason, Dean just connects better to kids. I will say this, though, Chris. At one point, Dean, he just mentions the fact that his brother went to college and Chrissy lights up. And Dean notices that. And he says, you know, you could go to college, too. And Chrissy's like, well, what do you mean? Sam's a hunter, but he also went to college. And Dean's like, yeah, like he was a hunter. He left, went to college, and now he's a hunter again. So at the very least, like Sam gives Chrissy hope. Not through direct contact, but by example. And Dean, for whatever reason, just has a better way of communicating that to younger people. I think people in general, because I think that's fair. But we see that with other kids too, right? Like, he just has a better way of communicating with them. I don't know what it is about Sam. I'll be totally honest with you. It's just something consistent with this character across the show.
I think he does develop into it better. We see it more when he's kind of a leader amongst multiple teams in the bunker and later Dean, where he can communicate. But we're not talking kids then. We're talking young adults, right? At that point, at best. I do want to point out, before we get to kind of Sam's issue and then Dean coming to the rescue, Dean and Frank, I talked about the standoff, but they're essentially they're surveying a field, and then they realize, oh crap, it's being watched. So they tap into this. Now, this is critical because they've clearly been seen. The Leviathan are obviously aware. Frank is not stupid. He knows this. But he's like, we're going to tap into it. Mm-hmm. And he learns a skill in this because it's going to get referenced in an episode or two from now. He learns the ability to tap into existing stuff. Mm. And it's going to set up a great moment that I will not spoil. But then while this is happening, he gets a message from Sam and realizes Sam has some bad info. Because of this bad information, which is the way to kill these things, and what they're actually fighting, all this kind of, because Dad's journal is not completely up to date. I like at least that we're still referencing Dad's journal. Like, it's not completely thrown away.
No.
It is the Bible, right? Now, I'd argue you should go for Bobby's stuff. He's got the real Bible of stuff at this point, especially with all the research he's done over the years. But he realized, I got to go. So it's Dean and Christy to the rescue, to your point. And we won't get too much into that because we've talked a lot about Dean and Christy. But I mentioned he, you know, says, no, you're staying in the car. She doesn't listen. It's really Christy who saves the day, right? Because her father's down to his like last drop of blood. Mm-hmm. He's nearly done. And the two of them are like, do you want to finish this one off? Which I love these characters, by the way, because one is like, looks like a very traditional waitress in a diner.
Yeah.
The other one looks like she's, well, let's be fair. She looks like, you know, the person you hire for a good time. That's what they're playing such a good game here. And they know what they're doing. But they're just talking so casually about this human as food. Oh, do you want to finish this off? As if it's like the last slice of pizza.
Yeah.
And so, you want to talk about something working. That's why this is a high rated episode for me. Everything works. The monster works. The mm-hmm. side characters are great. The monsters as side characters work great. Even the dad, who's not on screen all that much, is fantastic. Every bit of casting in this episode for me lands. And this is one of my favorite episodes of the season. I'm not going to lie, straight up. This is, I think, a stellar episode. And look, IMDb is what it is, right? You know, it's a collection of thoughts from the internet. So it's only that's you have to take into account. This is high for me. This is high eights. I really, really love this episode.
I agree. Yeah. Jeanette totally redeemed themselves from Mannequin 3 of the Reckoning, the worst episode possibly since Bugs. So I'm glad they had a chance to get back in the director's chair.
No, it's worse than Bugs.
It's worse than Bugs, yeah.
I think the Mannequin Reckoning, there's no redeeming factor to Mannequin the Reckoning, but this has redeemed.
Totally.
This has redeemed our director in my eyes, yes.
Yeah, it's a great episode, this one, Chris. And because it accomplishes so much in so little time without feeling rushed, so we totally skimmed over the fact that Sam and Dean, they see something weird at the beginning of this episode. And I teased it last week, Chris, that like Bobby's death not being final kind of takes the emotional impact out of it. I will admit, though, the first time I saw this episode, this week's episode, and Dean's beer goes from full to empty within like a second, right? The moment I saw that, I got excited. When did this air? Back in 2012, when I first saw this episode, I was excited, Chris, because you start to question like, well, hold on a minute. Could that be Bobby? Like, could Bobby have chosen to be a ghost and not actually go to heaven where he probably belongs, Chris, I would argue? It was exciting. For me now, though, I do kind of wish we had skipped it because last week's episode, it hit so hard. Bobby deserved a really great goodbye. I understand he's important and he's a fan favorite and all that good stuff. But the next few episodes, we're going to start to see more hints that there's something going on here. Like they're, you know, with the flask, like you mentioned, that's going to be really fun to dig into, because we start to see Bobby, you know, come back to life. And I remember reading interviews from the directors and from the showrunner back in 2012. And, you know, they obviously couldn't tell us that Bobby was still alive because they wanted to keep that a secret. But it was a really exciting time. And I'm trying to see these episodes through that lens, because it really was like one of the more it was a fun surprise, I'll say, because Bobby, we don't really know what happened to him. He never told us what choice he made, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a really fun
way to
reimagine
him. That's the reason I always thought he, I think even the first time I watched that, oh, there's no way he's gone, because it wasn't conclusive. Right. I never believe it until,
yeah,
you know. And I will say, we're going to get into that. I want to thank everyone, of course, for listening to this show before we get into our trivia. And I also want to make one more note before we jump into that. But I want to just remind everybody, say hi to us on Reddit. We're on Threads. I'm happy, by the way, for everyone to know that I feel like, I'm hoping Threads will be another good place for those who maybe don't want to use X. I know there's plenty of people who wanted to move on from X. We're still over there on X as well. So, you know, stay tuned. Yeah. Fred's actually got in on the geeky side of things, has an API now. So you're probably seeing more brands over on Fred's too. So if you haven't checked out Fred's as well, we're over there. Say hi to us. Back on the Hunt Pod, I believe, is our handle there. And then, of course, Reddit, yep, where Dan is managing that account and starting a lot of really great conversations. In particular, our ongoing, was it weekly? We're doing one every week at this point.
Every Thursday, yeah. We're talking about what's the worst thing a character has said or done. We've covered pretty much all the basics. By the time this comes out, Chris, I think we'll have covered Castiel. So Sam is still to come. Ruby is still to come. Some great characters to talk about. But yeah, it's a really fun series. Some really interesting responses.
And we do take your feedback over there, because I know people we took down a double Ruby, because after multiple people saying, I don't want both Rubies.
Oh, yeah.
So, totally. Now, I do want to say a few things that stand out to me. There's a great line. Christy says to Dean at one point here, you're pretty amusing for an old man or something. That's not verbatim, but, you know, and Dean's just kind of taking in like, oh, crap, I'm older. Which, you know, as someone who's turning 40 this year, it's on my mind when I hear that. Oh, man, time keeps going, right? The other thing is Dean's going to ask if Sam's okay, and Sam says, I'm not. Sam kind of asks the same back, and Dean's kind of like, yeah, I'm okay. And then they're kind of quiet. And so, you know, they're both not okay. But this is teasing that Lucifer is coming. We're going to start to see him. That wall of him trying to fight him off, you know, and it's coming. You know, Lucifer's in his head. And we are going to see a breakdown of Sam over time. And man, Lucifer has some great moments in some coming episodes where you just see him. I'm going to encourage people to just look at Lucifer in the background, even if you have to watch the episode twice. Just look at Lucifer in the background, because I'm telling you, he must have been having so much fun on set just trying to be as annoying as humanly possible. I mean, I can't imagine. There must be some great outtakes from that I have to look up, because he's just having a good time. They're like fiddling with things in the background, and this is what Sam's been dealing with. And I'm excited to kind of see how that plays out in the weeks to come.
Yeah, me too. I wish we've gotten more Lucifer up until this point. You kind of forget that Sam's going through that a little bit because they, you know, they don't bother to keep it at the top of our brains. But soon they're going to reintroduce that. Should we get into some trivia, Chris? We've got a few things here.
Yes.
The episode title is the same as the 1987 movie. It's about a babysitter who takes three kids into the city. They rescue a friend and they end up being chased. It's a whole thing. I haven't actually seen this movie. Chris, have you seen this one by any chance?
No, I'm aware of it, but I never saw it. 87. So I was only a few years old. So probably wasn't on my mind, to be honest. And I don't think I've heard of it. So it's obviously somewhat recognized. I know Elizabeth Shue. So yeah. I recognize, you know, the actor name here at least. So I guess that's a plus.
It's a great title. I mean, it perfectly captures what Dean is up to in this episode. Last scene of this one, Chris, was supposed to feature Sam searching through Bobby's stuff and finding a picture of Bobby and Dean.
And I found this, I think the way it was written was really weird. It said of him and Dean. So I didn't know if it was Bobby and Dean or Sam and it, but the point was, I assume based on the way it was written that it was Bobby and Dean, because going for, which to me, because finding a photo of Bobby, it was meant to be this real sentimental moment is the bottom line.
Okay.
And so it would have been maybe a nice callback to the other one. I don't know if it was necessary, but it probably wouldn't have been a bad touch considering we're going to see Bobby. Almost a hint that we're not done here, you know?
Right.
And it would make sense, Bobby and Dean, because Bobby is connected to that flask that we're going to learn that Dean has. So I imagine that was probably what they were going for. Just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad they cut that because let's leave Bobby alone for a little bit. Right. Let's let him rest quite literally. A couple more here, Chris. The woman running surveillance is referenced as Amanda Waller. That's, of course, a DC reference. Great character over there. Megan Ori co-starred with Jensen on the show Dark Angel, where they were tragic lovers. I've never seen this, but it's cool whenever you get to see either Jared or Jensen get to go back to, running some lines with some old colleagues. I think there's something fun about that. Speaking of that, Chris, we have a return character, as we often do, or I should say a repeat actor. Ian Tracy, who plays Lee in this episode, also appears as Isham in season 12. Lily Sunder has some regrets. I love when we do that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because most people wouldn't recognize because they're so many seasons apart.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's an angel, right? Isham is an angel in season 12, I believe. So that's a cool upgrade.
Yes, he definitely gets a little bit of an upgrade and role there. But look, I really love this episode. I think I've said that enough. I'm not going to reiterate too much, but I think they did a great job with this one overall. Just kind of excited to see that combination of characters. You talk about your perfect episode in the past. My perfect episode very much is something like this because the side characters get a chance to shine without being the main stars. Right. They all get their moments. Frank has a great moment. Like I said, I love that moment, Frank, of I'm not going to cut myself. You've got Chrissy just, I think, owning the stage in this one.
Yeah.
But Dad said, even in his just little, like, thank you for saving us. Thank you, you know, for helping my daughter, you know, those kind of things. And the monsters are fantastic. And I think I was just grateful, I'm not going to lie, Dan, to have a freaking new monster for once in a while. Because these become fewer and farther between as the seasons go on. And I think that's one of my biggest complaints about the later seasons of this show. And even when we get to Men of Letters, I feel like if anything, there should be more different types of monsters by the time we get to Men of Letters because they're so goddamn informed. Instead, we're fighting the Men of Letters half the time. So missed opportunities with monsters in the show in later seasons. And I will say this, if the show ever came back for a season 16 for any reason, and I don't know what the plot would be, God, that's the only thing I would ask for.
Mm.
Let's get into different monsters. Something got released. I don't know. Like, yeah. So, but that's where I'm feeling, Dan. I will say we've got some good episodes coming your way. Stay in touch with us through all the social networks that we've mentioned. Definitely say hi to us and participate on Reddit. And with that, I think it's fair to say that that is it for this week, but we will be back because after all,
we've got work to do.